Brought him a year ago, and everybody freaked out and said, you got to bring Ben Mankiewicz on the show more. Well, let's do it. Turner Classic Movies host and film critic. He comes from a remarkable family where his father, Frank Mankiewicz, a former NPR president, political advisor, and journalist. His grandfather was Herman Mankiewicz, a screenwriter for Citizen Kane, which is just, can you imagine having a grandfather, folks, in your family who wrote Citizen Kane? The great nephew of Joe Mankiewicz, the director, screenwriter, All About Eve. So obviously in your family and Ben's family, it's a history of cinema. And would you classify this year as a good, I've seen four or five of the top ones, would you classify it as a good year for movies?
Yeah, I would classify it as a good year for movies. You know, there's some you know, questionable choices, but there always are this year. And I think the conversations about it have been good. So, yeah, I would say this was a good year for movies. I certainly enjoyed most of the movies nominated for Best Picture.
I think the lock of the year, every year there's a category, and I feel like, oh, that's an easy one, is Christian Bale, lead actor in Vice. Do you feel the same way?
I think he is as much a lock as you can get. I think Alfonso Cuarón winning Best Director is a bigger lock, but yes, I think Christian Bale is a good lock. You got to lay, like, no, sorry. By the way, Christian Bale is not a lock. Rami Malek is the lock. I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm operating. Yeah, Rami Malek, you got to lay 600 to win 100 on Rami Malek.
Now, see, now he obviously was in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
First of all, I thought he was very good. And in both cases, Christian Bale and Rami, you had a physical component where Bale looked like Dick Cheney.
That's right. And I think that in some ways that hurts you with some voters because they see it as a caricature. I am with you, but there is a split on Vice. I mean, I loved Vice, and a lot of good friends of mine did not. But I thought Christian Bale was amazing, and I thought the entire cast was fantastic, you know. So I was Sam Rockwell, I thought, played the best George yeah. W. Bush that anybody has played, and Amy yeah. Adams does have some chance to win. Also, she's one of the few. That's one of the few competitive categories. Amy Adams's
was. Let's go back to Vice. Some could say, you know, they made Bush look sometimes a little silly. And you could argue it was a little heavy-handed politically. Does that hurt a Bale? Does that hurt Best Picture? Does that hurt Vice?
Yeah, I think it probably overall hurts it. But I mean, and I think, you know, Adam McKay, who I admire enormously, I think if you were talking to Adam McKay right now, you'd go, yeah, it was heavily political. Yeah, that
right.
was the point. I was trying to skewer these guys effectively. I thought why Rockwell was so good is that, you know, everybody who does Bush sort of plays him as a bonehead, and sometimes yeah. very effectively, sometimes very funny. I thought Josh Brolin was good in W. I thought Will Ferrell did it masterfully on Saturday Night Live. I thought Rockwell gave him sort of humanity, that you still got the feeling that this was somehow a frat bro who somehow became president. But just that scene where he's like, you know, eating the barbecue and right. throwing it over his shoulder, and he's like, I want you to be my vice, you know. And I thought Rockwell was, but I think he's a master, and Bale too. I thought they were both just so good. But it looks like Rami Malek is going to win easily again.
Wow.
The books don't get it wrong that much.
Okay, so lead actor is going to go to Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody. I thought it was a good movie. I just, as a kid, loved Queen. So I classified the movie as a really good movie. I don't consider Bohemian Rhapsody a great movie. I did think Star is Born was the most emotional 2 hours I spent in a theater. I would give Star is Born Best Picture, but it's been remade several times. Does that hurt it, that this has been done? It's not original.
I don't know that it hurts it. I mean, this is average Oscar voter is in his 60s, and, you know, this is a group of people. You know, look, I work for Turner Classic Movies. I love the earlier versions of Star is Born,
right.
some more than others. No, I look, it hadn't been remade in nearly 50 years, you know, over 40 anyway. And I agree with you. I thought it was outstanding. When I saw it, I thought, this is a good bet to win Best Picture. But now, if you really think it's going to win Best Picture, then you should put some money on it because it's 66-1.
My wife said that Bradley Cooper was too close to Kris Kristofferson. Do you buy that as a lead actor?
I mean, no, I don't. I thought he was, I like Kris Kristofferson. I think he's underrated as an actor, but I think Cooper is better. I just think that movie is better. It works better than the 76 version. The 1937 version, the first one, is my is my favorite. All of them have merit. Most TCM fans would you know, they celebrate the 1954 version with Judy Garland. That's their favorite. But
right.
I think this is a real quick, this is a reminder that it's okay to remake a classic movie. All this has done is get people more interested in the original movies, and I think this version of Star is Born certainly stands on its own.
All right. Best Picture, I'd go Star is Born. You would go...
Well, I mean, are you asking me what my favorite was?
What's your favorite? What would you pick as your favorite movie?
I mean, it's, you know, my favorite movie was Eighth Grade, and it's not nominated. So
I had a limited chance of success.
I thought Eighth Grade was unbelievable.
Yeah, I have a young daughter. By the way, good call on that. Why didn't it get nominated?
I don't know. I think it's crazy, and I think she should have been nominated, Elsie Fisher. I thought she was unbelievable. I don't think how you can be a better actor than she was. Of the movies that are nominated, I mean, I thought Roma was pretty great, and I got no problem with Roma winning, and I think it is going to win, although Green Book is competitive, and that's going to call. If Green Book wins, there is going to be a tremendous amount of hand-wringing and articles about how the Academy still doesn't get it on Monday morning.
Yeah. By the way, let me insert this. Regardless of what I think politically about Kevin Hart, he made some inappropriate comments, apologized. They're going to go hostless this year. The ratings through the years have been dipping. What do we do with the Oscars? I saw Barry Diller had a quote this week that Netflix has killed the theater experience. People stay home. What is Hollywood? He said it was irrelevant. I don't agree with that, but I do think it's a different world now. Netflix and the Amazon Primes and subscription services. TV's made a huge comeback in that term. What do you make of where Hollywood is now with the Oscars?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, you and I as professional hosts don't like to see shows without hosts.
Right,
so,
right.
I'd like there to be a host.
And I think they add value, frankly.
I think that, yeah, when it's done right. That said, you know, producing this show, where they give out 24 awards and all the other things that this show has to do, is incredibly difficult to produce. Time is an issue. I am enormously sympathetic to the president of the Academy, John Bailey, for everything that he's getting pulled at. You know, the network is in his ear like 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours. We got to get it down to 3 hours. And then he works with the governors and they come up with an answer, and then the entire Academy revolts against him, you know. So the Academy should probably figure out a way to get the show down in length. You and I both know, I mean, I'm the biggest baseball fan in the world, but I'll concede that, you know, watching the Mariners beat the Rangers 6-3 in August in a 9-inning game that takes 3 hours and 49 minutes is sort of a problem.
Yes.
You know, right? So, but I don't really know how they do it. It is a very hard show to produce.
We'll get back to Ben Mankiewicz in just 1 second. Hi, guys. Fall is here. As you switch out your wardrobe, don't neglect your underwear. And now is the perfect time to upgrade or restock your drawers with the all-new fall colors and prints from Tommy John. Listen, they obsess over every little detail. They now have men's and women's underwear. No wedgie guarantee, stay-put waistbands, range of fabrics, feather light. Moves with you, doesn't move against you. And that means no bunching, no riding up. They're so confident at Tommy John that you'll love your first pair. They call it the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Don't like it? Full refund. What do you got to lose? That includes the new life-changing women's underwear, now fully back in stock. So before you spend another penny on these cheap multi-pack underwear, remember, there's a better way to take care of your goods. Go to TommyJohn.com/herd, H-E-R-D, and that gets you 20% off. Only at TommyJohn.com, TommyJohn.com, code HERD. What do you make about, again, this is a Barry Diller criticism that I read about a year ago. He said, you know, it used to be there was a connection between the audience and Hollywood. What Hollywood liked, the audience went and watched. Increasingly, there is a sense that Hollywood has drifted away from the kind of consumerism. They've always pushed back on it. Spielberg, when he broke into movies, a little pushback. He was doing commercial fare. But there is a sense, I have it, that what Hollywood likes is at times now disconnected from what middle America likes. What do you make of that criticism?
I think that that has always been true. I don't think I respect Barry Diller enormously. He gave me my big break in this business. I just think that that's not really true. I mean, first of all, you know, that said, where his point is buttressed by the fact that the highest rated Oscar ceremony ever was when Titanic was nominated. That said, 1998, I think, I might be off, 97, I think, but 20 years ago, you know, we were talking about Netflix and Prime and Hulu and now Apple getting right into them. It was a different world. You know that TV ratings are dropping across. This is the lowest rated Super Bowl ever. The Emmys were the lowest rated Emmys ever. Yeah. The Grammys had the lowest rating 18 to 49 ever. We are live television is not what it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, certainly 50 years ago. That said, one of the most, if not the most popular movie of the year, Black Panther, is nominated. So I don't know that that's Bohemian Rhapsody is nominated. Those were enormously popular movies. So, you know, they may not win, but that's not going to keep people from watching. People think they have a chance to win, even though they don't either. Neither of them has a chance to win.
By Ben Mankiewicz is joining us. If you said eighth grade was you were shocked it wasn't nominated, is there a movie that was that if you had to replace it, you would?
Oh, you mean of the best nominated movie? Yeah. I mean, first of all, you can give 10, so you wouldn't have to replace anyone. Bohemian Rhapsody, I like Queen, too. I think we had to wait a long time till we actually heard Queen. The movie took 2 hours to get to Queen playing some songs there at Live Aid. Bohemian Rhapsody, like Walk Hard, that seemed to meet every touchstone of what a musical biopic is supposed to be. Like, it just felt so safe and so careful that, I mean, it's fine. But as one of the best pictures of the year, if you have to take one out and stick eighth grade in, I'd take out Bohemian Rhapsody.
By the way, I've seen both, and I totally agree. And again, I as I finished the movie, I watched it with friends, and I said, was that a great movie? Or was the last 20 minutes great because we all love Queen?
That's largely what I... And there were so many silly things that were changed about Freddie Mercury's life. I get it. Hollywood does that. They just didn't need to be changed. I felt sort of oddly about Bohemian Rhapsody the same way I did about Pearl Harbor, where after Pearl Harbor, you're like, I didn't realize Pearl Harbor was a love story. I thought it was... Was it not dramatic enough that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and launched us into World War II? That wasn't enough for you?
Yeah. Ben Mankiewicz joining us. Lead actress Glenn Close in The Wife. You can make certainly a compelling argument. She's as good an actress. I mean, Meryl Streep, Glenn Close, as we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I got. I mean, you watch. First of all, there's a movie that not a lot of people have seen, but I love The Wife. I love her performance in it. You know, Damages, the show she did for 5 years on FX and then on DirecTV. She was just. You know, that was like a course in how to be a lead actor. So she's win. You got to lay $1,000 to win 100. So I think she's a really good bet to walk away with the Oscar.
By the way, Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born, also up lead actress. I thought she surpassed expectations. I don't have enough. I'm out of my depth talking about whether or not it was a great performance. I thought it was a very surprisingly good performance that didn't rival Glenn Close in The Wife. Is that fair?
I mean, I think it does rival Glenn Close in The Wife. I think Glenn Close is, you know, she's been doing this much longer, so
right.
I guess she's probably a little better at it right now. But I am never surprised when a singer who puts on a real performance on stage, right? Somebody like Lady Gaga. She's a performer, so of course she can act, and she's a serious person who takes it seriously. And if Lady Gaga wants to devote her time and energy over the next 40 years to being a serious actress, you know, I have no idea whether she's going to win an Oscar, but I guarantee you she's going to get a bunch of nominations, and she is outstanding. And so the only thing I disagree with you on is that I actually wasn't terribly surprised. I thought she'd be great, and I think she was.
Well, Cher transition. She was in Moonstruck, I think it was. Yeah, Cher was great.
But if you watch some of the early movies, you know, Werner Herzog cast, you know, a Mick Jagger, and he's in some really interesting movies early in his career before he sort of completely devoted himself. If Mick Jagger had wanted to be an actor, he'd have been a good actor. If Bruce Springsteen wanted to be an actor, he'd be a good actor. So none of this. In general, I think if these performers who really put on a show, I think they're performers, and acting is performance. So, and by the way, performance is a name of a Jagger movie that every Rolling Stones fan should check out. He's really
Free
good.
Jack. He was in Free Jack.
Yeah, all right. Well, they're not all as good. I'm just saying early on, if he wanted to be an actor, he could have done it.
We'll get back to Ben Mankiewicz in just 1 second.
It is officially the summer. 4th of July week is over. I think I may go to the beach today. Want to look good? Work out, eat right? Try M-Drive. All built on science, clinically tested, safe and effective ingredients designed to achieve your boost. You got testosterone levels within your body? Give them a pop. M-Drive Workforce is their all-day energy booster. M-Drive Prime maintains lean muscle mass. If you're looking for it, Walgreens, Duane Reade, GNC, Vitamin Shop. My listeners can go to buymdrive.com and put in a promo code HERD, and you'll get 25% off your purchase. Any M-Drive product right now, 25% off your purchase today. It's the trusted name in men's health. Refind your prime. Eat right, work out, and go with M-Drive.
Recent years, Ben, we've seen Best Actor go to often portrayals of historical figures. A Lincoln,
yeah.
A Stephen Hawking. God, that was great. A Churchill, a Capote, a Ray Charles. You know, when talking about Rami and Christian Bale, is that there are certain roles which seem to be built for Best Actor. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think there are certain roles that, you know, I mean, again, if you, you know, movies feel real. The best movies, to me, feel authentic. And so if you start with a person who people know about or want to learn more about, then you, you know, you're already part of the way there. I don't think it keeps a totally fictional character from winning. As we well know, it hasn't. I mean, you know, there was no Don Corleone,
right.
but it didn't keep wins for The Godfather away. So I think it helps to certainly with the Academy to play a historical figure, but you don't have to. But obviously it does help, and it has certainly helped in recent years. But those are, you know, we're looking at small sample sizes there.
The supporting actress, Amy Adams for Vice. I don't have the Vegas odds. Emma Stone in The Favorite.
Regina King is the favorite.
If Beale Street could talk, which, by the way, I've not seen. It is not Memphis. I said the other day, Beale Street's in Memphis, and somebody said that's not what it's about.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Although I admit, when you know, about 10 minutes into the movie, I'm like, when are they going to Memphis? by the way, Beale Street, which is not nominated for Best Picture, I would also include in Best Picture. Barry Jenkins is a, you know, brilliant director, and there's one scene in Beale Street which you'll know it as soon as you see it. There's a scene where the two families involved meet and they share some good news, but it doesn't end good, and it is as good a wrenching family dynamic scene as you can put in a movie, and I think that's largely what got what has Regina King, who's a brilliant actress, and is I so hope she is enjoying her day in the sun, because it has been a long time coming. But I think she's going to win. But that one's a little competitive. She's like 1-3, and Amy Adams is 3-1.
Yeah, I love Amy Adams. I think she's really. I believe Amy Adams is making a movie now. Woman in the Window. I could be wrong. Is that the right? Do I have the right?
I don't know. I work for TCM. I only pay attention to what's already happened.
I go to my IBM DM page or whatever that's called. They always have a list of what you're doing, what you've done, what's being produced.
Upcoming projects.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ben Mankiewicz is joining us. I think it is, you know, it's the yin and the yang, the push, the pull. Obviously, movies, you know, the Marvel comics, if you don't pitch something that can be, you know, a trilogy, a lot of studios aren't interested. I work at, you know, Fox, where Rupert Murdoch has sold his movie division.
Yeah.
But I also think television's as good as it's ever been. You know, Roma is a Netflix movie, Amazon Prime. What do you make about the emergence of Netflix movies being nominated? They certainly have much greater budgets than television shows do at a NBC or an ABC. How is that playing in Hollywood, where Netflix now can win Oscars?
Well, first of all, they haven't, and they're putting a lot of money into Roma, and they spent much more time having Roma in a theater to sort of get some of these older. Look, you're not going to talk to anybody on your show, Colin, who spends more time with octogenarian members of the Academy than I do. They have become a lot of my really good friends. But there is definitely some pushback that, hey, man, that's not a movie. I don't watch a movie on my television. I mean, I might watch a screener on television.
But isn't it, Ben, if a TV show's costing $100 million, I mean, when I look at Netflix, it's not TV. It's a combo. It's a hybrid.
That's right. I think it's just harder to get the older Academy voters to accept that. But Roma, I think it's going to win. The odds favor it winning Best Picture. And, you know, once they get one, then that's sort of they'll push down that wall and that house will crumble. And I think that we'll see many more movies that premiere on Netflix or Prime or Apple. And, you know, when Apple comes, they're going to come hard with real quality. I mean, I think you're right. There's a lot of talk in this town bemoaning that there is no mid-range picture. You either spend $100 million, right, $250 million, or you can spend $800,000. But there's nothing. Where's the $12 million to $20 million picture? And those stories are on television. They are getting written for television, as you just said. I mean, it's beyond calling this the golden age of television. This is a whole new plane for,
yes,
television. I mean, you can. There are now 30 shows that I know are excellent that I can't even get to. And that's where the best writing is on television. There's some good writing in movies, but the best writing out here, which is what, and writing drives these stories, the best writing is happening on television, on Netflix, on Prime, and you know, Better Call Saul and The Americans and all these great shows on basic cable.
We'll get back to Ben Mankiewicz in just one second. Hi, it's The Herd. I was never really loyal to one brand of clothing. You know, I'd open my closet, whatever's hanging, I'm grabbing. Most of the time, I can't tell you what it is. Then I got my first Peter Millar Performance sports shirt. Game changer. It's got the appearance of a classic cotton sports shirt, but they've been designed from innovative technical fabric that's extremely breathable. It's got a feel, it's got a look that's different, and I wear it constantly at home. Peter Millar clothing is simply better. The stitching, the zippers, the attention to detail. And I've got several pieces of Peter Millar clothes. I've got sports shirts, I got quarter zips, and they look sharp, and I can wear them working out. I can wear them going to dinner, and they're very, very nimble. You can wear this stuff all the time. Go over right now to petermillar.com/herd and experience the quality for yourself. Okay, they've offered a lot of things in a multitude of colors and patterns, office or weekend. Make sure to check out some of my personal favorites. Use my link, and you'll receive complimentary shipping and a free hat. This is a good deal. Peter Millar, that's M-I-L-L-A-R, petermillar.com/herd, petermillar.com/herd.
By the way, have you seen Bodyguard on Netflix?
I haven't yet. It's literally on a list that is sitting here on my desk.
Yes, I strongly encourage you, Mindhunter. And
I like Mindhunter. I did very much. I like that. Yeah, I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, Mindhunter and Bodyguard are my two favorites. I'm just wrapping up year three of Billions, which, I also think, you know, it's very easy to fall into cliched writing with that, you know, hedge fund guys. But they've added such complexity to not only Chuck, but Axe, where I find it very addictive to watch.
I adore Billions, and I would like to give a small plug for a huge Portland Trail Blazers fan. But one of my best friends in the world is Kelly O'Coin, who plays Dollar Bill, who'll be a regular this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he is, again, he knows more about the Blazers than, if you ever need to talk about the Blazers, you get in touch with Kelly. But he, I think he's great. He was on The Americans too. He played Tim on The Americans. But he's a phenomenal actor, and that the whole cast is great. And that show is also, I think, one reason why I love Billions so much is that it's less weighty than so many other heavy dramas that I watch, which are, you know, I'm watching True Detective, and it's, you know, each episode is gut wrenching.
Yes,
Billions is fun, and it's nice to have a show that's fun.
Ben Mankiewicz, always a pleasure. 35 great minutes. You make us smarter from a remarkable family. By the way, when you do Turner Classic Movies, the host and the film critic, can you move in as a critic now and say, I want to talk about this Netflix show on Amazon Prime? Are you given that latitude?
I am. I do a show. I did a show called What the Flick for a long time. I do a podcast now called Breakfast All Day with some other critics. They don't mind. I think they like the fact that the intros on TCM, I know I do, sort of that those are free from, they might not, you know, I can add a little snark, but I don't think they want a professional critic, especially telling you not to watch a movie that they're about to air. So, and also, you know, look, we show a lot of movies that are great, and we show some movies that aren't so great but are still fun. So, we sort of keep those hats separate. That's, I'm mixing metaphors, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Manny Machado, $300 million. He'll last about 4 years there. I said yesterday, you're a baseball fan.
Yeah.
He won't affect the standings. He'll affect the stands.
because they're going to get 3,500 more people a night. So the $30 million a year contract will be about 22 or 20 after the Commerce. They've got a bunch of good prospects, Will Myers, Eric Hosmer. What did you make of that move, which is sounds absurd, but as a baseball fan, what do you make of that?
I think it's great. I love, you know, I live here in Southern California. I mean, I'm an Oakland A's fan, but I, you know, I've been here nearly 20 years, so I've got some affinity for the Dodgers now. But I love competition. I love going down to San Diego. It's a beautiful ballpark.
Great ballpark.
I think they're bringing back the brown uniforms finally next year.
Are they?
2020. Yeah, it's about time. I mean, they may have been horrible, but at least you knew you were watching the Padres. You know, now who Padres wearing blue? Come on. So I like it. I also think there'll be tremendous value in it. You know, it's like $7 to $8 million per win, you know, and he's like a 5 or 6 win player. He's probably worth $35 to $40 million, and he's only 26. I mean, he can opt out at 31, but I don't know that there'll be a 5-year, $150 million contract waiting for a 31-year-old the way things are going. So I'm a fan of it. I think they got a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a crazy amount. I remember as I told you, I'm an A's fan. I think it was 1990. And Ricky Henderson signed with the A's for 4 years at $12 million. He was the first player to make $3 million a year. And then within like an hour and a half, four guys had passed him, and he wanted to redo his contract.
Yes.
But that was just – I mean, that was 1990. That wasn't 1960. I mean, it's only been 29 years, and guys were making $3 million a year. Now we got a guy at 30.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened, Ben, really, even in hockey, the new TV deals, you can validate this stuff.
Totally.
Through just basic TV deals. I mean, the Padres are a small market, but it's not Fenway or Chicago where the Cubs and the Red Sox simply don't have – you can't create 7,000 more seats. He could have easily, if they signed Bryce Harper, you would sell 6,000 season tickets in 24 hours.
I live in Santa Monica. If they signed Bryce Harper, I might buy Padre season tickets. I don't know how I get there, you know, but.
Yeah. Well, continued success, Ben. Baseball season's coming up. So are the Oscars. Thank you so much for stopping by our Saturday podcast.
Anytime, Colin. Great to talk to you.